With me in studio today are two people associated with the new production that opens at the Fugard Studio Theatre tomorrow called Vaslav. And it probes the story of probably the most famous male ballet dancer of all time, a man who was both blessed and burdened by his immense talent, the legendary Nijinsky. And this production premiered to both critical and audience acclaim at the National Arts Festival back in 2015, was nominated for 3 Fleur de Cup awards, and delighted to have it on stage at the Fugard from tomorrow night. With me in studio, it's star Godfrey Johnson and co-creator and director Lara Bai. Thanks so much for joining us, both
Thank
of you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for letting us be here. Wonderful.
Godfrey, I mean, what a story this is to work with. What inspired you to create this piece?
I read his diaries about 15 years ago, and I mean that was the planting of the seed, the Nijinsky mm-hmm. seed. And then I did some research and some sort of homework in terms of the mystery of schizophrenia and mental mm-hmm. illness, because the diaries, you know, in the preface they describe the madness of the diaries and perhaps, you know, free thought, etc. And also the fascination with ballet and the music of the time and the history of the time. So I thought, what an interesting concept to play the music that I love mm-hmm. and to explore the music that I love and the ideas that I love and the inventions that I love, that we all love, like cars and zippers, and try and put it into a piece of theater, into a performance piece. Mm-hmm. Obviously using music, because that's my primary talent, so to speak,
yeah.
and composing, and then I thought, let's make it even more original. So we composed. Lara helped me compose a score for it.
Yeah.
We wrote songs to sort of just add to the piece, and the inspiration was very much almost the first male superstar, celebrity of the 20th century, mm-hmm. and reading into how he handled this fame and how foreign it all was to him, and what the relationship is between the craft and being famous, and how the fame can perhaps influence what you do and your creativity and your confidence. And he became a curiosity, and that also fascinated me. He was something that was exhibited like a, you know, like an experiment. And he was part of the most important compositions of the 20th century,
yeah.
like The Rite of Spring, the Stravinsky, groundbreaking works that influenced music, all
Forever.
Music, pop
yes.
music, hip hop, yeah. rap. I mean, that one piece of music influenced practically everybody since, in various ways, the percussiveness of it, the strange chordal structures, and to know that this person who was considered mad was actually the choreographer of this extraordinary mm. ballet. And, you know, so that maybe they were all crazy, but they were all brilliant. So there we go.
Well, I mean, they were the first yeah. great disruptors in a way,
yes.
If you look at them that mm. way. I mean, Lara, as a moment in time, this is 1919, I think, was when
exactly.
he stopped performing. It was the
yeah.
world going through the First Great War. It was, as Godfrey's referenced, the time of great inventions where everything was changing.
I have goose pimples as you just, seriously, the more, because Karen Janes and Godfrey had first got together and put together an original script.
Mm-hmm.
And Godfrey and I, when we started working, wanted to really unpack what cabaret meant. And cabaret as an art form in its true meanings of, as you say, of disruption. And Godfrey obviously not being a dancer. So
yeah.
that's why our show is called Vaslav. There is a beautiful show called Nijinsky, directed by Andre Urdendahl. And our piece then is on Vaslav the man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that story. And we've worked with Fiona DePloy on gestural language of his iconic dances of the Fawn. And there's only like about 10-second clips. We have delved deep into YouTube. There's about 10-second clips of him dancing. All that we have are the photographs of him and the descriptions. Proust, what did Proust say?
Proust, ah, With gigantic
leaps upon the stage. He leapt to the stars. People felt because, so number one, I mean, he was just part of that innovation. I mean, it was the time also of Gertrude Stein and Alice and Picasso, and everyone was painting. So they described Nijinsky in his later years like the deplaced planes of Picasso paintings. Mm. What's also, we could spend all afternoon. You can see it's an area of history and time. And as you say, innovation, but also the dark side was the development of psychiatry and psychoanalysis in its very, very early stages. So what was Nijinsky when he didn't fit into the mold? That's what fascinates me is now, I mean, how consumers eat an artist, someone who has got profound sex appeal. I mean, women used to faint the size of his thighs as he leapt across the stage in those tight tights. Yeah. I mean, people fainted. He was erotic. Mm. But he didn't want to just be that. He was Polish. He was a stutterer. People talked about him in his ill-fitting suit. And he wanted to dance the war. He didn't want to dance the princes. Mm. And of course, people just wanted him to be the leading man, the prince. Yeah. So that's what kind of drove him to his so-called madness, where he'd go running in forests and felt that the trees understood him. So is that mad? Is him at him being truly alive? It's well, we are deeply in love with this story.
I can tell. You've just sort of paraphrased his famous quote that people thought I was mad. I just thought I was fully alive.
Exactly.
It's a remarkable, remarkable story, because for those who don't know anything about the history of dancing, I mean, this was someone who put the male figure front and center on stage, really for the first time.
Yes.
Guthrie.
Yes.
Because it was Pavlova and those dancers, and in the Ballet Russe, at that time, as we say in the play, the men were the porteurs. They carried the ballerina. They were just there as figures. And he was the first person, as we're saying, that rock star.
And women would play the men. If they had a male role, a required male role. So he was the first rock star of dance, and probably of, and he drew. He was an artist. He was a composer.
Rodin was a contemporary.
He was a fantastic pianist. I mean, in those days, I think they learned to do everything. He built the sets. He painted the sets. He threw the sawdust on the floor. But quite exceptional. Gigantic leaps across the stage.
Yeah.
He flew, so to speak.
I'm intrigued by how somebody who is not a dancer inhabits that body for the purposes of the stage. Godfrey, how do you do it? Because you are not making gigantic leaps across the stage.
No, in my head I am. No, I think... Well, you know, fortunately I studied music, and part of music history is that period. You study the Impressionists, and I also did history of art at university and music, etc. So I was fortunate enough to learn about these moments in time, and I've always loved Impressionism, both the art and the music. So Debussy and Ravel, and that's soon after Tchaikovsky and the sort of great romantic composers. Yeah. So, and he falls into that strange kind of like almost immediate switch from high romanticism to Impressionism, and then modern, like Stravinsky's, like super modern music. And so for me, I had to read up on the ballet at school and at university, and the Afternoon of a Faun, for example, the Rite of Spring. So for me, the music alone wasn't enough. So I'd watch it and I'd try and understand how the body was an extension of the music or vice versa. And so I think the interest in the movement is a very musically based interest. So I kind of like see, if I see the dance, I can see the notes moving like I'm looking at a musical score.
Wow.
So look, with the help of Fiona and Laura, you just imagine being a dancer. You don't have to dance. Just think into this. But I think the music helps enormously, because the music dictates often what the body should do.
And if I can just situate. Yeah. So it's kind of situated, obviously, this old piano, and we've found sourced beautiful images where Godfrey is remarkably like an older Nijinsky. It's quite uncanny. Well, younger. He was very beautiful. No, there's a certain similarity. So it's situated with him as an older man, looking back. Mm. So it's this fragmentation of memory, and that's where the cabaret genre fits so beautifully. You know, he references his wife and his daughter. We hear from the psychiatrists, and his sister is a Bronya, who we just love as a dominant narrator of the story. Oh. So Godfrey moves just between all of these different characters. And then he takes us back to the past, to St. Petersburg, the cabaret of his parents. And it's just through a musical change. And we also found the voices of the different characters through the different key. So it's a more like really through diving into the musicality. It's sort of almost like the musical soundtrack.
That's absolutely true. Because, I mean, every ballet, I mean, every piece of classical music, traditional, is written in a particular key. So you're not going to change Beethoven's Fifth. It's in C minor, and that's what
that's
it is.
Where it stays,
you're never going to do it in F minor because it's too hard for the orchestra to play, or it won't sound right. It will still be minor, but it won't sound right. I mean, I think the same. I mean, I almost feel that the soul of Nijinsky is very much the key of the Rite of Spring. You just sense it. It's grounded, and then occasionally it flies away. But it's all about keys. So what we discovered is we discovered that tonality and the way we speak as people, we all speak in a key, but we don't ever think about it. So you could actually go to a musician and say, tell me what key I speak in when I'm in a good mood.
That's intriguing.
Tell me what key I speak in now. I'm in a bad mood, or I'm feeling a little anxious. So the key might be higher. So we identified the keys of characters. So, for example, the one critic is in F sharp, which is quite shrill. It's like, oh, uncouth, my dear, quite uncouth. You know, that kind of voice that's crazy key that nobody really plays in F sharp. It's too difficult. Well, people do, not me. And so by doing that, it has kind of evolved into a long song. Song 4/cabaret performance piece. So it's for me quite difficult to identify exactly the genre. So it's a combination of everything you may love. So
well, I've got one person who loves it greatly on Twitter. Tracy, thanks so much for your tweet saying Vaslav is an exquisite and fascinating piece of theatre. I've had the pleasure of watching it at the Arts Festival and Cork Bay Theatre, and the combined talents of Johnson and Bai create an alchemy of magic. Wow, Tracy.
Oh, that's nice.
How very beautiful.
Wonderful.
I just have to ask, Laurie, you mentioned the voice of Nijinsky's wife. Yes. Somebody's SMS'd wife, question mark. And
exactly.
To be expected, because I think he's famous for having been in a relationship
with Diaghilev. Yes. Well, this was a very peculiar, I'm not sure, I can't just offhand, it's missed me. She was a different nationality to him. They didn't really speak the same language. She was this sort of very domineering woman that he sort of escaped from Diaghilev. And so we don't know what his sexuality, because he was sort of this highly, as we say, he described himself as an erotic being. But in terms of sexuality, Diaghilev wrote a ballet called Je, which was his fantasy of Diaghilev with two boys. And of course, Vaslav says that wasn't allowed on the stage at the time, so they had to make it something else. He says Je was Diaghilev's fantasy. The fawn was mine. So I think that was very much at the time you had that kind of hashtag Me Too patronage situation. I mean, the ballet dancers had their male patrons in order to survive, to pay their way. It was a big thing, complicated at the time to be a successful artist. So who knows? I mean, he had in his diaries, he's always talking to Diaghilev, you may dye your hair. I'm dead too. We're both dead, dancing across the floor. So this kind of love, he was like his father figure, lover, strange. And then he had a daughter who he adored.
And both the wife and daughter became very prolific dancers. They had very long careers as in the Belarus. And they lived actually quite old. I mean, 1970, I think she passed away.
And his sister Bronya was also a dancer.
A very great ballerina.
The sadness is for him, after stepping away from the stage, he spent the next, 30 years of his life in and out of institutions, basically, for the rest of his life.
And his wife stood by him and his daughter, and they looked after him and they cared for him until the day he died. I mean, that's the most extraordinary love story, actually, in many ways. And Diaghilev passed passed away long before that. But I think also at the time, I mean, Diaghilev was the impresario in Europe. He was the most important theater person. Mm. I mean, not only ballet, but it was opera, it was music, it was compositions, it was plays. And he really loved Nijinsky enormously. Mm. It was quite passionate, I think, initially. But then, you know, the mystery of love, the mystery of art. We don't know what really happened between the two of them, but...
Because Nijinsky, I mean, Vaclav wanted to do his own thing.
Yeah.
So that was, and as his sister says, he had a great talent for art, but not for every day.
Yeah.
You know, just paying the bills,
he
paying
didn't
people.
Know how to.
And I think
so
that,
many artists do.
Well, exactly. And this is the trap, you know, from 9 years old, he entered, what was the academy that he was in, St. Petersburg?
The St. Petersburg School of Dance.
Yes. Yeah.
School of Theatre.
So from nine years old and then got discovered so young.
Yeah.
You know, that's that trap. And I mean, you see it with young musicians today that just have this fame and accolades, but they've never learned how to pay their bills. Someone's always done it for you.
I mean, he was a professional dancer from the age of 12, technically. You
know,
that's incredibly young. Emotionally, I don't believe he was necessarily ready for real life. I mean, no, and he couldn't. He didn't know how to do anything, pay bills. We had no clue.
And then living through the First World War and being a profoundly sensitive human being and artist, that was, I think he had to be in exile. There was a lot of traveling with the family as a Polish person. And you just, once you've experienced that, you couldn't go back to being the pretty boy anymore. And I think that's probably where Diaghilev also then moved on.
And interesting, you know? I think that the irony of the pretty boy is I don't believe he ever saw himself as a pretty boy.
No.
I think he just saw himself as an artist. And he didn't even understand why people found him attractive. He didn't get it. He was, that's very strange that they're I just do what I do. But he was hugely affected by the war. And I personally believe that was part of the many breakdowns.
Madness,
I think he just couldn't understand death on that scale and hatred. He actually literally didn't understand it. He couldn't handle it. And I think just a hugely sensitive being. He quite evolved, hugely evolved, talking to the trees, as you mentioned. Because he says, there's a wonderful quote where he says, "And the tree told me one must not speak here because human beings do not understand feeling. I was sorry to part with that tree because that tree understood me."
Oh, it sounds extraordinary. I can't wait to come and watch it. And
yeah,
I wish we could carry on for another
week.
I wish we had another hour and a half. We are out of time. I quickly need to tell everybody that Vaclav is on at the Fugard Studio Theatre from tomorrow until the 17th of November. There are performances Tuesdays to Saturdays at 8 p.m. as well as a matinee at 3 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. Tickets are priced from 150 to 160 rand a head and can be booked on thefugard.com or by phoning the Fugard Theatre box office. It has been an absolute delight to have you with us. I made a new word just in honor of
perfect the word. It's a perfect word.
Godfrey Johnson and Laura Bye, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.